That's right, man. We love our moms around here at Destiny. And any dads here ever thought about kind of reversing roles? Any dads here ever thought about maybe it would be a much easier role to play a mom? I've had those thoughts. Have you ever had those thoughts, guys? You know, if I could just trade spots with my wife and let her see how hard it is to really be a father, she would appreciate my job more. I think really just the opposite is the truth. Matter of fact, we got a video today highlighting this. Let's go ahead and watch this video as we highlight a little role-changing attitude.
No, you did not.
Okay.
How was choir?
It was good.
Moms have it so easy. I mean, their lives are fun, simple, and so rewarding. Sometimes I wish, instead of being the dad, I wish I was the mom. Ah, another day of pedicures, reading my magazines, and making myself beautiful. This is the life.
Mom? Mom, tell him to stop copying me.
Mom, tell him to stop copying me.
I'm not kidding.
I'm not kidding.
Mom, do something.
Mom, do something.
Are you serious?
Are you serious?
Mom, are you serious? Why did I ever ask you to help me? I should have known you couldn't fix my hair. I look like a freak. Look at me.
Look at me. Hey, Mom. Look at this. Look at me. Come on, Mom. Look at me. Watch this, Mom. Come on. Look at this. Watch this. Come on, look at me. Come on, Mom. Look at me. Come on, Mom. Look at me. Come on.
Book report due tomorrow, and I haven't read any of this.
Mom, if you don't help me, I'm gonna fail school and be a loser forever.
You don't expect me to read this all by myself, do you?
You don't expect me to eat this, do you?
Seriously, Mom, what is this?
Mom, I'm not gonna eat this.
Dad, can we just go out to eat, please?
Hey, kids, be nice to your mother.
If I eat this, I'm gonna throw up.
Mom, I said I'm gonna throw up. Mom, I think I'm gonna be sick too.
You're amazing. No, seriously. I don't know how you do it. I'm at a loss for words. Kids, come here. Get in here. Hug your mother. Tell her you love her. We're in the presence of greatness. Not now. Dad's on a roll. This is God's greatest creation, kids.
You're smooshing my face.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And I'm sorry. Because I don't say thank you enough. I mean, the truth is, I don't deserve you. We don't deserve you.
And one day is not enough to honor you. We should honor you every day. But how do we say thank you to the woman that means the world to us? I know. We're going to go right now and get you that vacuum cleaner you've had your eye on. No. Don't speak. This time, we're going name brand, baby. Come on, kids. Let's go make your mom's dreams come true.
Moms, what an awesome job. And so today, whether you are a mom, you know, there's no greater debate that seems to happen than this role of motherhood and people debating whether or not being a mom is really a full-time job. You know, and so we all know that being a mom is a full-time job. And we have a lot of respect for those mothers who are able to stay home and be a full-time mom. And then that, even more for those who have to work and also be a full-time mom. And even more for those who are single moms who have to work and be a single mom. Our hearts and hats go off to you today. Really just appreciate the hard work that it takes to be a mother today. One more time, let's give all of our moms a hand clap. I want to talk to you just for a little bit here about a story in 2 Kings we're going to look at in just a second about the Shunammite woman. And it's a story in 2 Kings chapter 4, and it's not a long story. We don't see a lot. Matter of fact, we don't even see the woman's name. We just know that she's called a Shunammite woman, not a termite, but a Shunammite woman. And we see something happening here in 2 Kings chapter 4. Let's go ahead and go right to the story. We'll talk about it. Verses 8 through 10 says, "Now it happened one day that Elisha was the prophet of God who had a great anointing upon his life. And it says, when Elisha went to Shunem, that there was a notable woman, and she persuaded him to eat some food. So it was that often as he passed by, he would turn there to eat some food. And she said to her husband, 'Look now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes us regularly. Please let us make a small upper room on the wall. Let us put a bed up for him there, a table, a chair, a lampstand, so it would be that whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there.'" So what's happening is this woman sees in Elisha something that most people had never seen. Because you got to realize that in the Old Testament that the presence of God was contained to the holies of holies. Only those who were in the holies of holies, only the high priest who were cleansed and worthy could go behind the curtain of the holies of holies and experience the presence of God. But this woman, she was very perceptive, and she realized that Elisha carried with him an atmosphere. He carried an anointing. He carried the presence of God with her that she had never felt. And she wanted that so bad, she said, told her husband, "We're going to make this prophet of God, we're going to make him a room." So they went and they made him a bed. They put him a stand and a lamp there and a chair. And so every time he passed through town, he had a place to stay. Why? Because she was creating in her own home an atmosphere that welcomed the presence of God. There was something about this woman's life that she was perceptive. She knew that she needed a place and an atmosphere that would welcome the presence of God. See, it was the mother who ushered Jesus into his ministry. Do you realize that? You remember Jesus had never done any public ministry before, and he was at the great wedding, and they ran out of wine, and so they were going to disgrace the whole family by not having enough wine there for all the party involved. And remember that the wedding parties went on for many, many days. And so it was a very disgrace if you ran out of the ceremonial wine that was required there. And so she calls Jesus up and says, "Jesus, hey, you can take care of this. It's time for you to take care of this." And Jesus, I love this exchange between Jesus, the Son of God, and also the Son of Mary, and his mom. And he says, "Woman, what did I have to do with you? Don't you know my time has not come yet?" Now, let me tell you, I suggest you don't try this when you get home, kids. Don't call your mom and woman. "Woman, what did I have to do with you?" And we see that, we think it really bold. But really, this is the way I'm perceiving it as I look at the story. It's really this: "Mom, I'm not ready yet. You want me to do this public miracle, and I'm kind of nervous about getting out. I don't think it's really my time yet." And the mom looks at him and says, whatever he says to do, you guys do, he's going to take care of it. And she just kind of shoos him in there and take care of this. And of course, we know that he changes the water to wine and just starts off and kicks off his public ministry. You see, because moms, you're real perceptive. You have a God-given ability to perceive greatness in your children. You have the God-given ability to perceive giftings that your children have and to usher them out. If a child is good at music, you have a way of pulling that out of them. If you see they're good at sports, you have a way of signing them up when they don't want to play. When you see they're good at things, and you sign them up and get them to do things even when they don't want to, because you know that you see and perceive certain talents that they have and see greatness in them. God has given you that discernment as a mom, as a woman. You have that discernment. It's built in you. Bible calls her a Shunammite woman, which simply means, and to translate that word, means a peaceful plant. And what that really sees is this woman had a peaceful spirit about her. There was something about her spirit that she had a peaceful spirit that came and sprung out of her. 1 Peter 3, verses 3 and 4, it says it like this. Don't be concerned about the outward beauty of fancy hairstyles, expensive jewelry, or beautiful clothes. You should clothe yourself instead with what? With the beauty that comes from within. The unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. Now, he's not saying here in Scripture that it's wrong to dress up and to take care of yourself and to look nice. Please, please don't take that away. This is not an excuse for you to bum out all the time, okay? But what he's saying is this, that we spend so much time, ladies, we spend so much time on the outward appearance that we never take time to check our inward appearance. And he said, we become to a fault. We'll worry about getting our nails done. You'll worry about getting your hair done. You'll be worried about the outfit you're wearing. But you will not worry about what's going on in the inside of your heart, inside of your life. He says real beauty comes from what? The gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. Do you realize, ladies, that you have the DNA, you were created with a gentle and quiet spirit? For some of you husbands, that's a shock, I know, today. But it's the very truth. God has created women with a quiet and gentle spirit inside of them. Do you carry an atmosphere that introduces the peace of God? Ladies, you realize that you have this chance to create an atmosphere in your home. Does your home create, woman, are you creating an atmosphere that welcomes the presence of God? Are you building a place where the presence of God is welcome? Are you building a presence of God, or a place where the presence of God is inhabiting your home? Are you allowing that? Are you bringing forth that in your home? The story goes on to talk about this child, and it says that Elisha came, and he stayed there, and as he was there, he called for his servant, and he said, hey, what's this woman really need? And he asked her what she needed, and she's like, I'm good. I don't need anything. And the servant said, hey, I know something she needs. She is barren. She has no children. They've been trying to have children all their married life, and they can't have any. And she's like, well, my husband's really old. He's really old, and it ain't going to happen by now. And he looks at her and says, woman, this time next year, in 1 year, you'll be holding your son. And she's like, don't play with me. Can you see this? She says to me, don't even say that unless you are serious. Don't even tell me this. Because you know that's the one area of my heart that I really, really want that I don't have. She's like, don't play with me. And he's like, I wouldn't play with you, woman. I'm telling you, God says he's going to give you this because you have opened up an atmosphere for the presence of God. God is so pleased that he is going to grant you this wish. You will have a son. And, of course, it goes on. She did bear a son. And the story goes on to talk about 6 years later after he's born, that he's in the field with his father. And his father, it's harvest time, and his father's out there running the harvest crew. And the son says, Dad, my head hurts really, really bad. And he does what any perceptive father would do. He says, go see your mom. Isn't that so true, guys? I mean, you know, our kids come to us, and they're like, my head hurts, Dad. Go see mom. They come to you, and you know, we want them when they score touchdowns and making the shots, and when they're singing good and they're getting the awards at school. We're like, that's my boy. That's my girl. They come with you, that stinky diaper. You're like, go see mom. go see. Yeah, you did too. Yeah, go see mama. Because we're real perceptive that way, aren't we, guys? We don't pick it up. And he shooed her away to the mom, take him to see his mom. And it says that he went home crying, and he crawled up in his mom's lap, and she was holding him, trying to comfort him. And it says that at noon that day, that the child died in the mom's arms. I mean, and she was just so like, God, what's going on here? You gave me this promise. And 6 years later now, he's dead. And it says the woman does this. She picks up her dead son. She carries him up to the upper room where the bed was made for the presence of the prophet. And she laid him on his bed. And then she went to her servant and said, go get the donkey, saddle it up, bring it to me. We're leaving. We're going to go find the man of God. And so this is what happens. See, she goes and gets the donkey, and the servant comes, and the dad is like, what's going on? Is everything okay? You're leaving. It's not the right day of the week to go find the prophet. What's happening here? And you know what she said to her husband? She said, it is well. It is well. Now, this is her son has just died, and the father doesn't even know his child is dead, and she tells the father, it's well, it's okay, it's going to be all right. Because, see, she was perceptive enough to know that her reaction to the problem could cause a chain reaction. She knew that if he left in a panic out of the field, that people would not be eating. She knew that people would not be paid. She knew that bills would not be paid. And so instead of compounding the problem, she was perceptive enough to know that I've got to stay calm here, and I'm going to take care of this problem. But, honey, you just stay there, and you keep working to pay the bills. You keep working to put food on the table, and I'll take care of this problem. And she leaves and takes the young man to find Elisha. And she gets there from a long ways off. It says he sent a servant. He saw her. She said, go find out what she needs. And he's like, is everything okay? What's going on? Are you okay? Is your son okay? Is your husband okay? And she's like, it's well. It's well. But she tries to get to him. And he's like, well, you know, he's busy right now. He's talking to God or whatever's going on. You know, he's busy and you can't see him. And she grabs a hold of him and she's perplexed. And she's really wanting to talk to him. And so Elijah sees this and comes over. He's like, leave this woman alone, man. Can't you see she's stressed out? Can't you see there's something going on? What's wrong? And she tells him, she says, this is not a joke from God, that God would just give me this baby, and then 6 years later, he's gone. And after he promised me this child, and he's gone, what's going on here, you know? And I believe God can, what's going on? And so he goes back and goes to the upper room, goes back to her home. And it says that he lays the staff on him, and he does nothing happens. So he crawls in bed with the dead child, wraps his arms around him, begins to breathe into his mouth. It says he gets so close to him that his eyes are touching his eyes. I mean, that's close. I mean, he's just praying, God, I breathe life into this baby. God, I speak life into this baby. And he's praying and praying again and praying again. And after he prayed for a while, it says that he begins to sneeze. And he sneezed 7 times. And after he sneezed 7 times, he comes back to life. And he calls for the mom and says, hey, it's okay, mom. Come on back up here. Your son is alive. Isn't it an awesome story about God bringing back? That's just an awesome story about God's power to heal, but God's power to do something great. But I love this story because mothers have a discernment. And mothers have a way of handling crisis. I love the fact that she handled this crisis with, you know what? I'm going to not panic, but all is well. You see, moms, I want to tell you this. You have a God-given DNA not to panic. You have a God-given DNA not to panic. You can control the atmosphere of your home by your ability not to panic. If your husband comes home and says, I've been laid off today, I lost my job today, if you respond, oh my God, how's it going to pay the bills? How are we going to do this? How are we going to eat? What about the kids? And you start responding that way, and then the kids are like, yeah, Dad, what's going to happen? And crying and going crazy, and then the husband's like, I don't know either. I just got laid off. You know? And your whole home is in turmoil. Why? Because you're panicking. Who controls that atmosphere? Moms, you do. If your husband comes home and says, we're getting laid off today, and you say, honey, I don't know what's going to happen, but I know this. God is in control of our life. And it may be tough, but we're going to make it through it. God's going to see us through, and it's going to be okay. You're going to find more work, and God's going to take care of us. It may get rocky, but as long as we got each other and God, we're going to be okay. And your kids say, yeah, Dad, it's okay. And they hug you, and he's like, I know. What an atmosphere of support and love versus the atmosphere of panicking through a crisis. This woman had a God-given DNA, bringing out a calm spirit, bringing out the DNA of, you know what, I'm not going to panic. Ladies, you control that in your home. God has placed that in your hands. She didn't go in panic mode. Ladies, we got to stop going in panic mode and say, you know what, I'm going to bring a spirit, an atmosphere that welcomes the presence of God. I'm going to bring a spirit of an atmosphere that welcomes the faith. God, our faith is in you. Our faith is in God. Because listen, if you're not going through a crisis today, congratulations. You probably either just came through one or you're getting ready to go through one. Because all of us are in those three categories. Either we're in one, we just came through one, or we're probably getting ready to go into one. Because it's a part of life. It's a part of who we are. We face crisis in our life. And how are you going to respond? And women, you hold that key to bringing that gentle spirit, bringing that out, that in your DNA you can bring into that home, a spirit of not panicking. Quickly, I'm going to give you three things, ladies, I want you to take home today with this message. First of all, you are the doorway of life for your family. You are the doorway of life for your family. You know, woman is the only thing that was created from a living being. The only thing that God created from a living substance was woman. The guys, how did he create us? He just took some old dirt and dust and like, kind of spit a loogie and breathed into it, you know, something like that. He's just there, you know, this is God, this is man. Just take some dirt. It's just dirt, it just makes a man. You know, some of you ladies, that explains a lot right there, Pastor. Enough said. But with woman, he said, you know what, I'm going to create her, and he took her out of the rib of a man. Woman was the only thing that God created out of another living being, out of any living substance. And let me say this to you. Out of your DNA, ladies, is life. You are the life. You bring DNA. Just as natural life must come from a woman, so must life come to your home through you. Let me say again. Just as natural life, every one of us here has something in common, as we were all born by a mom. And so this as natural life comes to us from our mom, so does the life in our home comes through the mother. The mother, you have the ability to bring life into your children, to bring life into your marriage, to bring life into your home. You can control that DNA of your home. You must bring life to it. Number two, death and life are working in your body. It's up to you which one you empower. Death and life are working in your body. It's up to you which one you will empower. Scripture says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. That we control death and life in the power of our words. So you have the power to speak words of panic, words of frustration, words of condemnation, or you can bring words of love, you can bring words of healing, you can bring words of calmness. You can bring words that build faith into your home. Ladies, you have this power to bring it. What are you going to speak? Now, I know today that none of you ladies struggle with this. And I'm probably just speaking to a few guys that are here. Right, ladies? No, this is something we really have to check yourself in. Because you have the power to control the life of your home with the power of your words. Are you going to speak life into your home? Are you going to speak life over your children? Are you going to speak life over your family? Are you going to speak life over what's going on? Or are you going to come in and speak death to it? Are you going to come in and say, it's never going to work. You're never going to change. You're always going to be this way. You're this. You're that. What are you saying? Or are you saying, you know what? You're smart. You're beautiful. You important. What are you saying? Are you speaking life or are you speaking death? Ladies, choose to speak life into your home. Choose to say, you know what? I had the power to bring life. I had the power to bring death. I'm going to choose to speak life in my children. I'm going to choose to speak life into my family, into my marriage, into my house. I'm going to speak it. Now, ladies, I know it's kind of hard today to hear some of these words, but I say this. Guys, just wait your turn, okay? Father's Day is just a few weeks away. And I'll be even tougher on them. You guys know that. I'll be even tougher on the guys. But we've got to say, you know what? So many ladies, you are in control of your home. And sometimes we take it for the wrong way. So you got to say, God, I want to check my heart that I can be a woman not only in control of my home, but in control of my tongue. Because I want to bring life. I want to bring peace. Because that's the way God created me. He created me with a gentle, quiet spirit that brings a beauty to the Lord. And so when you keep composure, when crisis happens and everybody looks to mom, how's mom reacting? And mom says, you know what? We're going to be okay. I mean, when a child is hurt and dad's trying to comfort, what happens? That baby is falling off, wrecked his bicycle, and they come running in, they scrape their knee, and they're like, ah, mama, 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 mama. And dad's like, you don't need mama, I'm here. Come here. And you grab them and you hug them and you kiss their boo-boo and you wash it off and you tell them it's going to be all right. And what do? Mama, you're not going to need my mama. And mom comes in there and does the same thing you did. And they're like, ah. What is that? I mean, I watched you. And I did the very same thing. And they screamed louder. You do it and they calm down. Because moms have a spirit of calmness automatically put into your DNA. It's in you, ladies. Some of you think, well, I can't be calm. Yes, you can. It's in your DNA. I can't keep it together. Yes, you can. It's in your DNA. God has created in you a quiet, gentle spirit that can rule your home when you allow the Holy Spirit to bring that out of you. For some of you, that's going to take some work because you're always used to having to fight and claw your way for everything you got. Nothing was handed to you. You've been through a lot of stress. You've been through a lot of unfair things in your life. I understand that. You've had to fight and stand up for yourself. But listen, when it comes to your home, you also have to fight and say, you know what? I'm going to bring a spirit of peace in my home. You may have been raised up in a home of confusion. You break that DNA. No, my kids are going to grow up in a home of peace. Whether it's one parent or both parents there, as a mother, I'm going to bring in a peace. I'm going to make a place to say, you know what? The Spirit of the Lord is always welcome in my home. I'm going to make sure that the DNA in my home, that there's always an atmosphere that says, God, there's a place for the God. Because when I go through a crisis, I know where I can bring it. I can bring it and lace it upon God. I have a place to go. She had a place to go. She knew. She had already created that place, that atmosphere where she could bring her crisis and place her son upon the bed, knowing that the Spirit of God was going to meet her son there. It works. Death and life are in the power of our tongue. Don't give in to hysterical panic feats, or speak life into your home. And last thing, ladies, women have a power to cause a Sabbath in their homes. Women have a power to cause a Sabbath in your homes. The word Sabbath is where we get the word rest and calmness. On the seventh day, God created what? Nothing. He said, let us be a day of Sabbath. Let it be a day of rest. But it's interesting in this that God created man. He created man first. So, I need some help here. Come here, Joe and Jen. Give me some help. So, in the first thing we see here, on the sixth day, God, first thing God created was man, right? Oh, got the beard here. I am man, right? All right. God created man first, but he looked at man and said, this didn't turn out right. I can do a little bit better than this. So, he said, I'm going to take out of him the rib. I'm going to take life, and I'm going to create something beautiful. And he created his best creation. He created woman. And he looked at her and said, you know what? Enough creation. I've created the masterpiece. No more creation. I am done. It is there. And he looked at woman and said, man, that is good. Even I can't top that. Isn't it awesome, ladies? You are God's masterpiece. He didn't create anything else if he created you. But what he said was this, I'm now going to call a Sabbath, I'm going to call a day of rest. And so I want you to see what God did. God created man, then he created woman, and then he created a day of rest. What's the only thing standing between a man and the day of rest? A woman. All right, there we go. Thank you, guys. I want you to see this. I believe that one of the reasons he created the women last and had the Sabbath right next to it was this, that their spirits go hand in hand. Their spirits go hand in hand. That inside of you, ladies, you have the ability given of God to bring a spirit of rest to your home, a spirit of calmness to your home, a spirit of nurture to your home. You control that, and God has given it in you. Well, Pastor, I never had a good mother show that to me by example. I wasn't raised by my mom. Maybe you was raised in a foster system, or maybe you were raised with an absent parent, and no one's ever showed me. I say this to you, if you will begin to create, first of all, a place that welcomes the Holy Spirit, a place that welcomes God's presence in your home, He will teach you. He will pull out of you that natural gifting of a mom to bring rest to your home. It's already in you. It is in you. God has created that in you. He just wants to bring that out. You have that God-given ability to bring rest, to bring calmness. Ladies, I want you to say this after me. I have the God-given ability to speak life or death to my home. You have that ability to speak life or death. You have the God-given ability to bring rest and peace to your home. God has given it to you. What are you going to choose to do? Today, as we end the service, moms, you are such a beautiful, beautiful gift from God. When God made you, He made the masterpiece. I'm going to ask all moms here today, could you just stand to your feet today? All moms, could you stand to your feet? I'm going to invite you. Yeah, let's give him a hand clap. You give him a hand. That's fine. Yeah, Dad. Moms, I want you to, if you mind, if you just come down to the front and join me here. I want to pray over you today as we close out the service. Scoot in close, ladies. There you go. And other ladies here, if you're here today, ladies, and you want to join, we want to welcome you to come and join us as well. Stand behind them. Maybe you're not a mom yet. Maybe you will be soon. Hopefully not too soon, some of you. Okay, but come and join us, ladies, behind. The rest of the ladies, come and join behind these ladies here as well. Some of you are maybe not a mom, but maybe you got some nieces and nephews that you're a mother figure too. You got people in your life that you're, it's in you. I mean, there's not a single lady in this room who isn't nurturing somebody, who isn't looking after somebody and being a mom figure to somebody. It's just God's given DNA in your life. I want to pray over you that God would just allow that natural God-given spirit of calmness, of peace that only you can bring to a home. I'm going to pray that God would just anoint you to bring that out in you. Some of you here, you struggle with that. It wasn't something you've seen modeled for you, so therefore you don't know how to do that. But the Holy Spirit's going to teach you. He says, He will guide me into all truth. He will show me the ways. If I will just turn my heart to God and say, God, I want to learn to be that kind of woman. I want to learn to be that kind of mom who's going to speak life to my home, who's going to create an atmosphere that welcomes the presence of God. That when crisis comes, we know that it's okay because the presence of God is in our home. And He's going to take care. We're not going to panic. Listen, you got to refuse to panic. Do not hit that panic button. Instead, say, God, I'm going to hit the faith button. I'm going to go to that room that I've created where I know the presence of God is at. And I'm going to make sure it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Ladies, I want you just to put your hands like this as a sign of receiving from the Lord today. I'm going to pray of your Father right now. Honey, join me. Father, right now, I pray right now, Father, over all of our ladies here today. Lord, I speak into their life, Lord, as a pastor, Lord, I pray right now, Lord, your Holy Spirit would come and, Lord, begin to fill their life today, fill their heart today, God, with the fresh peace that comes from the Holy Spirit. God, I pray right now, God, you are calling out of them greatness. You are calling out of them, Lord, a gentle spirit. You're calling out of them a peaceful spirit that, God, they can bring peace to their home, to their children, to their marriage. Father, I believe right now, God, you are calling in some ladies right now, Lord, a spirit of peace, Lord. Where they've had to fight, Lord, they've had to stand up for themselves all their life. God, right now, you're allowing some of those walls to come down in their mind and their spirit. And, God, you're going to allow a new spirit to begin to come out of them, a spirit of peace. A spirit of gentleness that they didn't even know was there. God, right now, by the Holy Spirit, Lord, you are bringing this out. God, you are allowing us to come through them, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray right now, Father, for every woman here, God, you are giving to them a double portion of peace today. Lord, you are pouring into their heart today, God. And I speak, Father, greatness to come out of them. Lord, I speak a new fruit to come out of their life. Lord, I speak peace, calmness, rest, Father, faith. Lord, in the name of Jesus, to rule their life and to outpour into their homes, into their children, into their spouse, into every person they come in contact with, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you allow that motherhood to come out of them, that gentle spirit to come out of them, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we say together, amen and amen. Receive that in the name of the Lord. Come on, guys, give me a hand clap. One more time. You appreciate our moms? Yeah, ladies, we appreciate you very much. Those guys are giving you a standing ovation back there. I know you can't see it. They're standing on their feet for you. Listen today. God bless you. Thank you so much for being here. I want you to have a great day. Before you leave today, stop by Mom's and grab a rose. If you haven't signed up for one of the classes or for the work day, guys, make sure you sign up for the classes in the back. Ladies, turn around and give three moms a hug and tell them it was good to be in church with you today. God bless you.